USA, the greatest entertainers in America, is requested by you, the men and women in the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's Omer over there. Well, it's too late to duck now, men. Another hunk of Command Performance is going to hit you right in the kisser. As usual, we're answering all your requests to Command Performance, Armed Forces Radio Service, Los Angeles, USA. In this week's batch, there was one pleading note from a PFC that wanted us to tell him a bedtime story. He asked specifically for Little Red Riding Hood. Well, we regret to say that we couldn't get a hold of Little Red Riding Hood, but tonight we're bringing you the wolf, and here he is now, Bob Hope!
Thank you, Kenneth. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Spring, as always, in my heart, Hope, telling all you men everywhere that as long as the B-29s keep dropping those seeds, winter and summer, in a few months, we'll knock the early bloomers off a yoke of Hummer. I dropped one myself, I think, there. Spring. You know, spring is a wonderful thing here in California. The birds, the bees, the sunshine, and the wind rustling through the slacks on Hollywood Boulevard. And this spring weather really makes you feel good. In fact, Sinatra felt so good, he went down to the blood bank and gave them his IOU. And even married couples get romantic in the spring weather. I saw one married man and his wife, both dressed in slacks, walking down Hollywood Boulevard, keeping very close to each other. I said, "Still in love, huh?" And the guy said, "No, we only got one pair of suspenders." Yes, sir, the spirit of spring is everywhere. I've been doing a little work in my garden, too. It's nice to have a garden out here in California. Everything grows so fast. You dig a little hole, put in some seeds, cover it up, water it twice a day. But you should have seen me doing my own spring house cleaning this week. I put on a dust cap and apron, and I really had an exciting time. Gee, don't those icemen ever try to sell ice? We can wait, you know. I don't get it myself. Then some woman rang the bell, looked at me in my dust cap and apron, and shoved a paper in my hand. I thought she wanted my autograph, so I signed it. How do you resign from the wax? And I had a little accident while I was cleaning the house. I poured some glue on the piano stool by mistake. My aunt sat down on it yesterday. So far, she's played Accentuate the Positive 3,000 times. Great gal. And now it's a real thrill to bring to your Command Performance microphone one of the loveliest and most talented stars in Hollywood, the winner of this year's Academy Award for her grand performance in Gaslight, Ingrid Bergman.
Thank you. Thank you, Bob.
Yes, sir, the star of Gaslight. Anybody want to play Gas Man?
Oh, Bob, I'm glad you're here tonight.
You are, really?
Yes. There's something about you that makes me gay, that makes me glad, that makes me very happy.
Something about you that makes me, too.
Oh, you know, you know. You know, yeah.
You know, Ingrid, there's something that puzzles me. You come from way up north, and yet you have such a warm nature.
Oh, you know that old saying, the colder the place, the warmer the girl.
Yeah, drop over sometime. We'll spend the evening in my refrigerator.
Didn't I see you someplace lately?
You did. Oh, yeah. Of course. You saw me over the Academy Award affair, don't you remember?
Oh, yes.
I've been there 6 years in a row now.
Six years. By now, you must have regular costumer at that popcorn stand.
Well, it's easy for me. I just heat up my old scripts. But besides, I have to do something while I give those Oscars to everyone else.
I don't like to say this, Bob, but when you didn't get one, you weren't very sporting about it.
Well, I just lost my head, that's all. Well,
but wrestling for it with another performer.
And I'd have had it, too, but that Margaret O'Brien's awfully strong for age.
It's just a tiny little thing. In fact, she's so small, nobody there could even see her.
Well, that's because she was sitting on the other side of Crosby's stomach.
I'll tell you something funny. I didn't even see Bing.
Why not?
He was on the other side of yours.
Well, leaving Fringehead for a moment. Are you, leaving Fringehead for a moment? Are you working on a picture now, Ingrid?
No, no. But I'm going to start one just as soon as I find the right leading man.
Oh, you're looking for a leading man?
Mm-hmm, yes, one who's dashing and debonair.
Gee, that's right down my alley.
Someone who's young and romantic.
That's right down my alley.
Oh, he'd have to be someone I can trust in the love scenes.
Set him up in the other alley.
Oh, well, Bob, I was thinking of someone a little more sophisticated than you, a different type of man. Remember those love scenes I did with Charles Boyer in Gaslight?
Charlie, old breathe heavy. If you want to see real romance, I wish you'd drop over to my house and do a love scene from Gaslight.
Why?
No gas, no light.
Oh, Bob, I hope you won't be angry, but you're not sophisticated enough.
I'm not, huh?
No. The real man of the world has a look about him that suggests champagne and caviar.
What about me?
One meatball.
So that's how it is, huh?
Yes. I'm afraid so, Bob. You're not the drawing room type. I don't want to hurt you.
Oh, that's all right. That's all right.
Then I'll see you later.
So long. Not the drawing room type. Not the drawing room type, huh? I know how to conduct myself in society. I wouldn't dream of throwing a used tea bag under the table. Not me. I always take them home, dry them out, and make cigarettes. But Ingrid's right. Maybe I could use some advice.
What's the matter, Bob? Didn't things go so well with Ingrid?
No, Ken, they didn't. But if she wants a sophisticated man, that's what I'm going to be. Would you introduce the next number, Ken? I'm going to make a phone call. I just got an idea. I'll be right back.
Poor Bob. Well, man, let's turn on to something on the brighter side. So here they come, lovely, petite, and a bit of all reet, the King Sisters.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that you know she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day. From the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe, here she comes. Woo, 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 woo. Hey, Jim, you better get the ring. Passengers is pretty big, and they all want to live to the Brown Hotel. Cause plenty of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
That was really an all-over treatment. Say, Ken, I phoned somebody and asked him to come over, so when he arrives, will you please...
Well, Bob, I think he's here already. Is this who you were expecting?
Hello, Bob. Water Pigeon. Wow.
Walter, I'm glad you got here. I need your help.
What's wrong, Bob?
Well, I have to make an impression on a certain girl who's here this evening.
Oh, I see.
Now, I'm being very honest with you, and I want you to be very honest with me. What can I do to make her think I'm a polished, sophisticated gentleman?
Go home at once.
Walter, I was depending on you. You're the very symbol of culture and refinement. Can't you help me?
Bob, it's no use. I can't make a silk purse out of a sow's ear.
You leave my...
Leave what?
You leave my nose out of it. Almost had my foot on your laugh there, too.
Bob, it takes time to become a real gentleman. Years of background and experience. I've been places, seen things. I've flung wide the portals of life.
Gee, and I even have trouble opening transoms.
You just don't seem to understand. Now, the first essential of culture is education. Now, in my case... Everything I happen to know, I learned from many hours of sitting at the Tree of Knowledge.
I've learned quite a bit hanging from a branch in Griffith Park. Look, Walter, I don't see why I can't be like you. After all, we're both men.
True, very
true. We're both made in the same mold.
Yes, Bob, but you remained a little moldy.
If I was a man, I'd resent that.
Well, I'll sell you some ice if you like.
I'll be right up. I'm quite willing to learn, Walter. How should I act around a girl so she'll think I'm sophisticated?
Well, it's a delicate thing, Bob. You must strike a happy medium between formal dignity and easy graciousness.
Huh?
Do you know that that you're rated in society by the label in your suit? Look what the label in my coat says. Created by Bond Street.
Gee.
What does yours say?
Reconditioned by the Salvation Army.
By the way, Bob, who is this girl that you're trying so hard to please?
Oh, she's wonderful. She's lovely. And, oh, look, here she comes now.
Hello, Bob.
Oh, hello, Ingrid. This is Walter Pigeon.
Oh, how do you do, Walter?
Ingrid Bergman.
Yeah.
This is a moment beyond my wildest dreams. I'm one of your most ardent admirers.
Thank you. I'm glad I had this opportunity to meet you.
Yeah.
You know, you're my... Well, you're my very favorite actress.
You are my favorite actor.
Thank you, Ingrid.
Thank you, Walter.
Every night is the loneliest night in the week.
What are you doing here, Walter?
Well, I've been...
Walter came over to try and convince you that I'm one of the best leading men in the business. Isn't that so, Walter?
Well, to be perfectly honest...
Who asked you to be honest? Just tell her your... Just tell her your opinion of me as a leading man.
Well, Ingrid, I think that Bob turns in a great performance.
You do?
Yes, a great performance. I think it's remarkable the way he goes around town acting like an actor.
That pigeon is going to be a dead duck in a minute. Ingrid, I'm telling you that I'm the leading man for you.
Well, I don't know.
I do, Ingrid. You've always had the same type of man in your picture, and I think I'd make a wonderful change. You don't want a man who looks like every other man.
No, but she wants some resemblance.
Excuse me, Walter. You can see I'm having a little trouble now. How do you think I should handle her?
Well, Bob, with a woman like Ingrid, the sophisticated approach, it's all wrong. Take my word for it. Whether she knows it or not, she'd go for a man that was rough and tough.
Rough and tough, huh?
Uh-huh.
I think I better make another phone call. By the way, Walter, have you got a nickel?
Sorry, Bob. I've only got a $5 bill.
Oh, that's all right. I have change. Gee, I hope this guy's home.
And now, man, yours to command and ours to present. Here's that rhythm queen you've asked for, Ella Mae Morse.
Thank you, Ken. Thank you very much. Here's a novelty tune dedicated to Private First Class Leroy Preston at APO 689 to the boys of RMO Navy 3205, the Royal Order of Ditz and Daz, and to Seaman First Class John Battles, Trigger Riddle, and the boys on their LST somewhere in the Atlantic. I hope you like it, fellas. It's Captain Kidd. There was a guy
She used to make a big commotion, doing the things the law forbid. The character was known as Captain Kidd. He'd sink a boat to get the jewelry. He wouldn't stand for no time fooling. Nobody found the loot he hid. A lucky buccaneer was Captain Kidd. He used to make with a skull and bone. To him it was a merry prank. And just to get a laugh from David Jones, he made his liable boogie-woogie off the plane. He got his kick from playing pirates, carried a gun and liked to fire it. Thought he was smart for what he did, but he was only kidding, Captain Kidd. You'll never find his name up in the Hall of Fame. It was the strangest mystery of history. He never got nowhere being a hip corsair. But here's the clue to how he made his Waterloo. One day he went and found a honey. She took the boy for all his money. So after that, he flipped his lid and finished up the tale of Captain
S-O-L-I-D spells solid gap. Say, Ken, I phoned somebody and asked him to come over, so when he arrives, will you please...
Bob, I think he's here already.
Isn't radio wonderful? Show him in, Ken.
Here he is, William Bendix.
Wow!
Pardon me, maybe you know something about this. I just got a call to come down here and make somebody tough. Who is it wants to get muscular?
It's me. I want you to make me tough and rugged.
You, huh? Well, I suppose you have some reason for it, madam.
Maybe, madam, I'm Bob Hope. Look, Bendix, I asked you to come over here to make me a two-fisted he-man like you.
Oh, I get it.
Now, what's the first thing I should do to make me look rough and tough?
Well, let's see. We could start by taking the bobby pins out of your hair.
Those are just in there to keep my snood from slipping.
Let it drag. Everything else about you does.
Hey, don't worry about me. I can take care of myself. I've got a standing offer to fight Humphrey Bogart any time he wants to make it worthwhile.
Worthwhile? What stakes do you want to fight for?
Bacall or nothing at all.
I see what you mean, but if I was you, bud, I wouldn't go around picking no arguments. You look like a nervous breakdown that just had a nervous breakdown.
I got plenty of muscle. Go on, feel this muscle in my arm.
I don't feel no muscle there. Where's your muscle, huh? Where's your muscle, huh? Where's your muscle?
Now you did it. You talk so loud, you scared it away. Well, take a look at this physique, Bill. Get a load of me from the side.
That is a load, ain't it? Brother, even your flab is flabby.
Don't worry, I'm built plenty solid. Just look at this chest of mine. It's straight and hard.
Yeah, but from there on down, here come the waves. So, So you want to play rough, huh?
Look, Bendix. Look, Bendix, I just want to act like a rough guy and a kind of a girl.
Oh, well, why didn't you tell me, Hope? That's a cinch. All you got to do with a dame is talk tough. They love it. Where is the skirt?
I'll call her. Oh, Ingrid.
You watch. I'll show you how it works.
What is it, Bob?
Ingrid, I want you to meet a friend of mine.
Now, listen to me, hey. When I talk, you jump, and I don't want no back talk, hey? And just to show you how things stand, I'm going to kiss you. Come here, hey.
And that ain't hey.
Oh, excuse me, Ingrid. I was just showing Bob how to act like a he-man.
Oh, boy, I see. I'm sorry, but when you talked like that, I thought you might be a criminal.
But Hope introduced me as his friend.
Well, that's what gave me the idea.
Oh. Taking a horrible beating tonight, eh? Ingrid, to be perfectly honest, I got Bendix over here, and I've been doing everything I can so I could be your next leading man.
Well, Bob, I thought a long time about you, and the more I thought about you...
Yes?
The less I thought about you.
You mean...
Instead of you, I have decided to use an actor, Charles Boyer.
How do you like that, Bendix? He's back to Boyer again.
Not all dames are fickle.
Gentlemen, if you only knew the appeal Mr. Boyer has for women. That beautiful voice, so soft and muffled.
Why shouldn't it be muffled? He talks through his eyelashes. Well, come on, Bill. There's nothing left for me now.
Where are you going?
Down to the river.
The river? You mean...
Sure. Where do you do your laundry these days? Come on.
Bob, I don't want to be a wet blanket or anything, but with Charles Boyer coming over to see Ingrid Bergman, it looks like you'll never get to be a leading man.
Well, I'm not through yet, Ken. I got a little idea that'll make her change her mind.
What do you mean, Bob?
That must be him. Just watch, Ken. Come in.
Good evening. My name is Charles Boyer.
Well, how are you, Charlie, old boy? It's good to see an old pal again. How you been, old pal?
Fine, fine. What did you say your name was?
Charlie, surely you must recognize me.
Oh, yes, yes. Bob Hope.
Sure, I live right next door to you in the valley. You know me, I make pictures.
I know. Every day I have to scrub them off my sidewalk.
And after I spent 3 hours on Betty Grable's knees. Say, Charles, you know very well that I work in the picture studios.
What do you do?
What do? I just happen to be the greatest lover in Hollywood.
Oh, how fortunate for Glendale.
Charles, I'm sorry you don't think of much of me as a romantic leading man.
Well, if you forgive me, Bob, I would say that you lack a few of the requirements. For one thing, a leading man must have regular features.
Well, I've got regular features.
Oh, but the way you conduct yourself. You whistle at girls.
Well, that's one of my regular features, too.
Excuse me, Bob, but ever since we started talking, I've been curious about that perfume you're wearing.
Oh, that's a little something I dab behind my ears to attract girls.
Really? What is it?
Well, I don't like to give away my secrets, but it's got worry a minute. That's for the youngers to say, soldiers and sailors and boys. And
well, I would like very much to continue this conversation with you, Bob, but the purpose of my visit was to see Miss Ingrid Bergman about being in her next picture.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up, Charles. It's a good thing you saw me before you saw her.
What do you mean?
Well, I'm a good friend of yours, and I'll give you a tip to help you land the part.
What is it?
Well, Ingrid told me confidentially that she was getting pretty sick of that continental stuff.
Continental stuff?
Yeah, you know, come into the Kerr's ball. Come into the... Come into the Kerr's ball. Come into the Kerr's ball.
You can't get that many people into a sunset bus.
Well, I'm deeply concerned. Miss Bergman told you she doesn't like me?
No, she's still willing to consider you, but this picture calls for a different type of role, and I can help you.
Oh, it's very nice of you to do this for me, Bob.
Oh, I'm very happy to do you. I mean, what she wants now is a guy who can play the part of a Westerner, a cowboy.
Cowboy? But I have no experience about the West. I don't even know how to milk a Mustang.
Don't ever try, but don't worry about a thing, Charlie. I wrote a little sketch that will prove to her that you can be a real Westerner.
Oh, thank you, Bob. I'm so grateful to you.
Well, good. Here's your part. Why don't you go in the corner and rehearse it? Just come in when you hear your cue.
Good. I do hope I please Miss Bergman.
Now, I better talk to Ingrid. Oh, Ingrid!
Did Charles Boyer get here yet?
Yes, he told me to give you this little play. It's a love scene for the two of you.
Oh. Where is Charles now?
Well, he's right outside. He wanted to be alone so he could get into the mood.
Oh, it must be a very tender, sentimental scene.
You'll
huh?
find out. I'll set the scene, Ingrid. It's a little play called Tall in the Saddle, or I Didn't Know I Was Sitting on You, Joe. You speak first, Ingrid.
My, how brightly the stars are burning tonight. They are burning almost as fiercely as the fires in my heart. It would seem that they too know that I have a rendezvous with my love. Oh, Charles, where can he be? What can be keeping him?
Maybe he had to pass the draft board on the way home.
Oh, Charles, just the mentioning of his name brings back so many memories. I can still hear his voice so soft and low whispering to me.
Yippee! Yo!
Well, Bob, how am I doing?
Swell. This may start a whole new series called Hop Along Boye.
Precious, these long hours away from you have each been an eternity. But at last, my sweet, you've returned. Say those three words I've been longing to hear.
Burst my britches. Yahoo!
Charles, after these many months, why do you act so strangely? Why do you turn away from me?
He told you, he bust his britches.
Charles, you haven't even told me what kept you. You haven't been gambling again, have you? Were you at the roulette tables waking up your winnings?
Why, my hide. I've been down at the stable.
I'll bet he was raking anyway.
Raking stables? This whole thing is ridiculous. Mr. Boyer, what has come over you? Why are you reading this way?
Well, to please you. From now on, I'm an old cowhand.
You see, Ingrid, you can make your choice now. It's me in sophistication or Charles Boyer in westerns. What do you say?
Give me my boots and saddle. Yuppie!
The finishing bell for another command performance, and this is Bob Hope saying for Ingrid Bergman, Walter Pigeon, William Bendix, Charles Boyer, Ella Mae Morrison, the King's Sister, the best of the best from the USA.
This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.